integrity and right foundations and surprising and surpassing righteousness. Upside down kingdom living. Different than what's lived out by this world. And if we live those kingdom principles, this world would be transformed. This morning we're going to think about blessed to be a blessing, no worrying. Here in the Sermon on the Mount, 10 verses with the heading, Do Not Worry. Why does Jesus give this so much attention and so much thought? Quite simply, because he knows for sure where we are coming from. He realized that those sitting on that mountainside and those sitting on the purple chairs need all they can help they can get with this worrying. He knows where we're coming from. We worry. Fact. You know, I could ask you now to put your hands up if you've never, ever worried about anything in your life. And I wouldn't see any hands up. Because we worry. We call it anxiety or fear or stress. Whatever you call it, we all worry to a greater or lesser degree. And I'm not going to stand here this morning and say, naughty, naughty, naughty for worrying, because Jesus doesn't. He says, do not worry, but he says it because he understands. It's not so much a command as a suggestion. He gets us to logically think about all those things that we worry about. He gives us some reminders. He gives us some things not to forget. He gives us some antidotes. An antidote is something that counteracts something. And these 10 verses are antidotes to us worrying. Antidote number one, God cares and provides for his creation. Note that this is in the present tense. It's not a historical fact that God once did. God didn't create this amazing world and then give some sort of long life batteries and say, get on with it yourself, over to you. He's put us the pinnacle of his creation. Look around at one another. You are made in God's image and likeness. I know he's got a sense of humor, but look around. Just remind yourself to the antidote to worry. And then he goes on to talk about birds. He says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. I thought about that. I thought that it says do not worry, and then he's suddenly talking about birds and lilies of the field. But I think the look was because he was at that mountainside, and then a whole lot of birds came over, and he said, look. And then maybe they did perform, but maybe they didn't. He said, look, are they worried? He uses his creation to remind his creation of something very simple. Some of you will remember this verse that some of us grew up on. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush around and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I that it must be, they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. Now, I know that some theologians have totally poo-pooed that. Quite interesting use of words there when we just talked about birds. But they have. The theologians have said, oh, that's, birds don't have a heavenly Father. But we get the gist, don't we? We need to be reminded. There's antidote number one. that God cares and provides for his creation. But antidote number two is the how much more principle. The world doesn't really get the birds thing, does it? But we do. Because we understand the how much more principle. The God of the how much more. You see, Jesus reasons with common logic and common sense. It was a familiar teaching by the rabbis in that time. They would often use it. It was called light and heavy. Logical arguing from the lesser to the greater. How much more? Are you not more valuable than they? Will he not much more? See how Jesus is making quite a simple point. The needs of the birds, lilies of the field, are met. So surely, how much more will his creation, made in his image and likeness, know the care of a heavenly Father? Two antidotes. And then the antidote, the combination of worry and faith. You might be quite surprised that I've said that. Well, that's what I think. I think that there's a balance, and a healthy balance, between worry and faith. We need both. It's so easy for that platitude to be given to us. You know, worry is an expression that you're not trusting God enough. And I think that needs to be thrown out the window, because we send ourselves down we're a rubbish Christian route, and then we feel guilty and we still worry. And we worry that we're worried about being told that. Get my gist. You're not supposed to worry if you're holy. But holiness and worry almost go hand in hand. We wouldn't be human if we didn't worry. But alongside the worry, we have to put the faith factor. At the end of the bit that Jesus talks about Solomon and all his clothes and all of that and the grass, he ends with this little statement, "O ye of little faith." Was that a sort of telling off? Was that a Jesus saying, "Oh, honestly, ye of little faith"? Or was it that gentle reminder, that gentle little tap on the shoulder? Hang on a minute. Where's faith in all of this? Because he uses that same phrase at other times. When those disciples were going to drown in a storm and they were going, he says to them, "O ye of little faith." And when Peter was mouthing off about, "Oh yeah, I can walk on water and I can do all that," and then he starts to drown, Jesus says to him, "O ye of little faith." Not telling off at all, but just a gentle reminder. He knows what we're like. And he says, "O ye of little faith." He doesn't say, "O ye of no faith." And I think there's a big difference there. We need to put that worry and we need to put that faith together. To be reminded of God's provision. To be reminded of the how much more principle. You see, we've been blessed to be a blessing. And to take those anecdotes that we know about into a community and a world that we live. It's kingdom living. I'm going to stop now for a moment because I want you to close your eyes. I just want you to listen as the creator of the universe whispers in your ear. His eye is on the sparrow.